You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Earlier this week, Republican Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky made an announcement about his political future.
I stand before you today, Mr. President, and my colleagues, to say this will be my last term as Republican leader of the Senate. I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. However, I'll complete my job my colleagues have given me until we select a new leader in November, and they take the helm next January.
McConnell is the longest-serving party leader in the history of the Senate. This came as congressional leaders have been working around the clock, against the clock, again, to fund the government and prevent a partial shutdown. The deadline was late tonight. Both chambers of Congress passed a short-term spending bill as of yesterday. It puts off the next decision until 1 week from today. We're going to talk about the significance of McConnell's announcement, what it means about changes happening in the Republican Party, and what it took to keep the government fully open for now. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have thoughts on this continuing series of short-term resolutions to keep the government funded? Should Republicans use their leverage to get more out of these deals, do you think, as some conservatives in the House especially have been making the case for? Do you want to see longer-term funding deals set? And in a bit, we'll talk about Senator Mitch McConnell and his long run as Republican leader in the Senate. You can join in with your thoughts on him as well at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Susan Johnson is associate professor in the Department of Politics, Government, and Law at UW-Whitewater. Susan, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, it's kind of like a broken record at this point, Susan. Again, a deadline, again, a short-term extension on funding. Why do we keep ending up here?
Well, you're right. And what's interesting to me is that this was something that seemed to have snuck up on all of us, in the sense that Congress went home for a two-week President's Day break. And there was significant concern, as there usually is, but I think that this time even more so, that in fact there was going to be a government shutdown. There were members of Congress who were speaking as if it was inevitable that we would see something. And then all of the sudden, middle of this week, we instead have a compromise, let's say, in the House where there is a very short-term change. So Speaker Johnson, for some reason, decided that he wanted to split the continuing resolutions into two continuing resolutions, and he's done this before, and that's why we had these two different deadlines. So half of the government funding was set to expire today, and then the other half next Friday. And so what happened is that we've kicked the can down a week for the half that was set to expire today, and then the 22nd for the other half. So now we've got a couple of weeks for some of it and a week for the rest.
And then the 1 week deadline generally seems to be thought of as the easier stuff, things that might be easier to come to a consensus, a compromise on. And then that later one has some more hot button issues, including border security funding, national security funding. Can you talk about that division of labor and how it could shake out?
Right. So what's coming up next week is agriculture, commerce, justice, and some of the other things, as you said, that seem to be less controversial. And then we've got in a couple of weeks those items that you mentioned that deal with tougher issues. From what I've read, they're still up in the air whether any funding will be present in that later set of bills for Ukraine and other aid, including for Taiwan and other foreign aid budgets. What is also happening is that what Speaker Johnson does not want to do is pass everything in one lump omnibus bill, which we've gotten used to funding the government year in and year out over the past over a decade in these giant omnibus bills. What he's hoping to see happen next week is passing a half dozen different appropriations bills that will fund some of the items that you mentioned. And then again, down the road in a couple of weeks, pass other individual funding bills to cover these different units, including, like you said, defense, homeland security, health and human services, and others.
Now, Speaker Johnson's predecessor, Kevin McCarthy, the former speaker, lost that post in part because some Republicans were unhappy that he extended short-term funding bills with Democratic support. He needed Democratic votes to pass some of these. Now Speaker Johnson has passed the short-term funding bill where he needed Democratic support to get it passed. Can you talk a little bit about that dynamic within the Republicans in the House here? Why did it end up overthrowing McCarthy? And at least for now, Johnson seems to get away with it.
Yeah, not only that, but one of the items that cost McCarthy his job was that in doing this, he also brought these bills to the floor, suspending the rules that allowed for this to happen more quickly and eliminated the procedural rules that could have put an end to all of this. And so without getting too much in the weeds, that's what McCarthy did, in addition to what you mentioned that cost him his job. And now Johnson has done the exact same thing. And when some members of the Republican conference in the House were asked about this and asked whether or not this would cost Johnson his job, they were a little cagier as far as how this might go.
Susan Johnson is with us, political scientist at UW-Whitewater, looking at yet another funding deadline, creating just yet another funding deadline in a week and in a couple of weeks in Congress. Plus, in a bit, we'll talk about Mitch McConnell's announcement that he will no longer, as of November, be the Republican leader in the U.S. Senate after a long stretch, the longest stretch in a role like that. You could join in on either issue at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Susan, a perennial issue in these congressional debates is border security. Speaker Johnson met, along with others, with President Biden on Wednesday to talk about funding. When Speaker Johnson came out and talked to reporters, he focused on border security. Here's a listen.
The first priority of the country is our border and making sure it's secure. I believe the president can take executive authority right now today to change that. And I told him that again today in person, as I've said to him many times, publicly and privately over the last several weeks. It's time for action. It is a catastrophe and it must stop. And we will get the government funded and we'll keep working on that. So we'll have more for you soon. Thank you.
Speaker Johnson there, though, not specifically saying we won't pass funding bills unless that happens, executive action from the president or enhanced border security in a budget deal in Congress. Is that an important note to make?
I think there's so much to talk about when it comes to the border and the funding and the fact that there had been a bipartisan plan that had been negotiated by members of the Senate to do a lot of what Speaker Johnson and others have been calling for. And then there was a decision that that would never get called for a vote. There are things that the president can do administratively, but he's also quite limited in what he can do administratively. And I think that down the road, they're going to have to pass something to keep the government going. And so I think Speaker Johnson is, we've seen over time now that he's allowed these funding things to go through, and I don't see why we're not the next time.
We are talking to UW-Whitewater's Susan Johnson about the latest news in Congress, including the approaching deadline to continue funding the full government. And coming up, we'll look at Republican Senator Mitch McConnell's announcement this week that he would step down as the Republican leader in the Senate this fall. He'll serve out his term as senator for Kentucky. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on either of those, the deadlines again and again on these funding bills, and Senator McConnell's long term as Republican leader in the Senate and a change coming. You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Susan Johnson, Associate Professor in the Department of Politics, Government, and Law at UW-Whitewater, talking about Republican Senator Mitch McConnell's announcement this week that he'll step down in November from being the Republican leader in the Senate, as well as the near partial government shutdown Congress avoided by passing a very short-term spending bill yesterday. Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Chris is with us in Fairchild. Hi, Chris.
Hi. So my take on this is that every couple of weeks we seem to end up in this laddered CR short-term shutdown debacle. And it, from my perspective, you know, Johnson has stuck his thumb in the eye of Democrats at just about every turn. So if he can whip his party and do this all on their own vote, then I think that's what he should do. I think Democrats should just step back and let him do whatever it is he thinks he can get done. But at this point, you know, we're going to end up in this in 2 weeks and then another 2 weeks and then another 2 weeks. So that's my perspective on this.
Chris, thanks a lot for the call. And Susan, Chris points toward a challenge for Mike Johnson or whoever happens to be the speaker, Republican Speaker of the House. A very tight majority can only afford to lose a couple few votes, and parts of the party who want more than he's willing to offer at some points. At some points, can you talk about the challenge of doing what Chris just mentioned?
Yeah, I mean, Chris is right that in order to get this stuff done, he has needed, Speaker Johnson has needed Democratic votes. This most recent bill, only 113 Republicans voted for it and 207 Democrats did. So without Democrats, this wouldn't have happened. I think that Democrats are acutely aware of the damage that would be done by even a short-term government shutdown, and they don't want to see that happen. And so they're weighing, how much do we put pressure on the Republicans and have them do this versus do we want to have the negative consequences for the country that come with a government shutdown? And they seem to end up always on the side of keeping the government open. And some Democrats, voters are unhappy that they're willing to compromise, and others see it as necessary.
Chris, thanks a lot for that call. Susan, let's turn now to Senator Mitch McConnell, longtime Republican leader in the Senate, currently minority leader, has been majority leader over the years, saying he's going to be done with that leadership role come November. How big a deal is that?
Well, I think that people expected that perhaps he would have this be his last term as Senate leader for the Republicans, given that he's 82 or so, also because he has had some health issues. His term isn't over for several more years, and he indicated he's not going anywhere in that regard. I think that what's most surprising, and the other reason why I think people aren't necessarily surprised, is he's had a very rocky relationship with former President Trump. They haven't actually spoken, I understand, from what I've read, since early in 2021 or right around after the 2020 election. So I think what is most surprising to people is the timing, because he announced, obviously, at the end of February, he intends to remain through the election. And normally what happens after the November election is that each caucus will then meet to select who their leader will be, and then that person will assume that responsibility in January of 2025. So there's a whole lot of time now for people to jockey for his position. Perhaps he was being intentional in making his announcement to allow for that jockeying, or perhaps he has a preferred person in mind that he's hoping can get some momentum by an early announcement.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Tim is with us in Viroqua. Tim, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say that Mitch McConnell is going to go down in history as the most anti-democratic speaker of the House, or leader of the Republican
Senate
conference ever, because of his denial of Obama's, you know, denial of the will of the people's vote, who elected President
Tim broke up there. I think he was getting to the Merrick Garland nomination to the U.S. Supreme Court in the last year of the Obama presidency, and then Majority Leader Mitch McConnell not allowing that to come to a vote. Susan, is that going to be, as Tim suggests, a big part of Mitch McConnell's legacy?
And I'm assuming Tim meant small D Democratic. And I think that for a lot of people, yes, that is going to be one of the things that Mitch McConnell is remembered for. I think that there are going to be a lot of people, however, who are going to see that maneuver that Tim was referencing with blocking President Obama's ability to nominate and get confirmed a Supreme Court justice after Justice Scalia's death in February before the election as one of his best moments in terms of getting a hold off so that a Republican could appoint someone to the court. So I think that a lot of times people's interpretations of Senator McConnell and others is influenced by where they sit on the political spectrum.
There would be an argument, I think, Susan, that that maneuver was, if not a complete departure from tradition, an escalation of an ongoing back and forth between Democrats and Republicans over getting judges confirmed to the Supreme Court and other federal judges.
Right. I mean, I think a lot of people met Senator McConnell's statements with incredulity. I mean, just given the fact that it was February and the election wasn't until November, and the claim was that we weren't going to do this in an election year, I think that it added fuel to the fire when then in late 2020, we had the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And then I believe it was in October that we had a confirmation of Amy Coney Barrett as a Supreme Court justice. So I think that that just added to Democrats and just a lot of Americans in general really being unhappy with what happened, and it just made it even worse.
I want to give another listen to Senator Mitch McConnell now. He talked at length when he made this decision to step down as leader effective November. Here's some more of what he had to say. This is our Mitch 2 clip. Nope, we don't have it ready. Okay. Anyway, so he talked about differences of opinion with the Republican Party when it came to foreign policy, Ukraine, and more. And you mentioned earlier the conflict with former President Trump. He's suddenly Mitch McConnell in kind of on the outs with his own party.
Yes, for sure. And I mean, I think that's probably been something that has pushed him, perhaps, if the idea that if President Trump were to be reelected, that he would be working with President Trump. The other issue is that were President Trump to have been reelected, or should he be reelected, there would, I'm assuming, have been a push or would be a push from former President Trump to have someone replace McConnell. And I think that this doesn't allow that to happen, but that might have been a calculus as well.
So looking to the future now of a leadership in the Senate, is Donald Trump's endorsement going to be key to determining who takes Mitch McConnell's place as the Republican leader in the Senate?
I don't see how it couldn't have some impact. There are three people right now, the three Johns they're referring to them as, John Thune, John Cornyn, and John Barrasso, who are three senators from North Dakota, Texas, and Wyoming, respectively. And they're the names that have been floated. Cornyn and Thune, even more so than Barrasso. But also, we should remember that Rick Scott from Florida actually challenged McConnell the last time. So of the three Johns, I believe that it's Barrasso who would be seen as being the closest to President Trump. We haven't heard him say anything that I've seen yet, but I would anticipate that we will hear something. It's not like former President Trump to not like to weigh in on these things.
And briefly, Susan, I've seen an argument over the years that, you know, some years back, especially with the Newt Gingrich era, that the House became more contentious, partisan, hostile, and that the Senate is slowly following suit. Is that something you've seen happen under, maybe not because of Mitch McConnell, but under his Republican leadership?
I think that, yes, the Senate has become less collegial, less bipartisan. It's still more so than the House, and you can point to some of the work that McConnell actually has done with President Biden on passing some things like the infrastructure law and other things. So I think that the Senate still remains more bipartisan, but maybe only by a hair.
Susan, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Happy to be with you, Rob.
We've been talking to Susan Johnson, associate professor in the Department of Politics, Government, and Law at UW-Whitewater. Talked with her about a couple of big stories out of Washington this week, including the ongoing effort to keep the federal government going. A deadline came and went, and we've got new deadlines coming up, one in a week, one in a couple weeks as well. Plus, the announcement from Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell that he'll leave his longtime leadership role among Republicans in the U.S. Senate, though serve out his term as senator from Kentucky.